Coming up on show 865, why is the Ford Mustang Mach-E gonna sound like a V8? Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus on the podcast today, the Skoda Enyaq iV is previewed once again ahead of its official launch. Tesla is hiring for construction workers in Austin. And why the Chengdu Motor Show explains why China is the epicenter of cheap EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 12th of August. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Please, dear God, let it cool down. We are not built for these temperatures. For the last 3 or 4 days, it's been around 30 degrees, and yes, I know what people are going to say. Isn't it what you call, you know, summer? Hottest summer since 1976 here, in terms of the continuous days of just pure heat. And actually, last night was the hottest night on, didn't go below 20 degrees. Now, again, I know what you're thinking if you're listening somewhere very, very hot. Hello, Australian listeners. Hello, those that listen in Arizona. You've got to remember, we're not built for the heat. We don't have air conditioning. We just don't cope very well. We're all melting. That's my plea for help today. Send ice, or just a thunderstorm or rain to cool things down. Hey, we're looking forward to tomorrow. What's the weather in Cincinnati? And I mention that because tomorrow on Thursday, I'll be taking part in an EVroom Zoom call. If you want to join us, organised by EV Cincy, EV and then a space C-I-N-C-Y if you're going to Google it, providing insight into how dealerships are being educated on playing an increasing role in the education and adoption of electric vehicles with their customers. Now, Trey Woosty, he is of Beachman Auto Group, is going to be hosting it along with myself. I'm delighted and honoured to be asked to take part in that. And so it's a video conference chat, very interactive, lots of questions. If you are in the area, maybe you're a dealer, maybe not in Cincinnati, but you're curious and you want to take part in that that interaction that we'll be doing tomorrow on Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern is when we'll be doing that. By the way, you can get registered and we'll see you there. If you just Google the EVroom Zoom calls or EV Cincy, E-V-C-I-N-C-Y, you'll find the registration page and I'll see you on the call at 2 p.m. Eastern on Thursday along with Trey and the rest of the gang. So September the 1st will be the day when Skoda is going to lift the veil on its first fully electric SUV based on the parent company VW's MEB platform. We talk a lot about the VW ID3, but of course that car, that platform will spawn many cars across the group and elsewhere, even with Ford as well, who are licensing it. But until September the 1st, when we find out more, we can make and do with teaser shots from Skoda. The Enyaq iV will be previewed, has been previewed yet again today with some official rendering, giving us a pretty good understanding of what the Skoda brand is their take on the Volkswagen ID4. I've rather flippantly said on the podcast before that if you want a car based on the MEB platform, don't buy the ID3, but buy yourself an ID4. I say that tongue half in cheek, but also well aware that people just want crossovers and SUVs these days. Look, I have had two Golfs in my time. I love the Golf-sized car, that form factor. So the ID3 would be good for me. I'm just saying for most people, wait until the ID4, wait until the Skoda Enyaq. You know what? Let's have a look at the specs. According to Motor One, in typical teaser fashion, the alloy wheels are unrealistically large. And oh look, there's not a door handle in sight. But that's all right. It's just the kind of pictures that all automakers put out before the actual car is out. There's a signature or Founders Edition, I should call it, actually. You get a little badge on it as well that says Founders Edition. And that is going to be for the first 1,895 units, 1895, 125 years ago, signalling the foundation, inception of Skoda, or Škoda, as maybe I should say, if I'm being respectful to the Czech language. The limited run variant is going to have a different design that the other Enyaq iV versions won't have. Going to have some special features as well. If range is your top priority, go for the rear-wheel drive version. Single motor, rear-wheel drive, 82 kilowatt-hour battery, and 311 miles. That's 500 kilometres on the WLTP test cycle here in Europe. The Enyaq iV RS. Hello. The RS version will be the most powerful Skoda version with a dual motor, all-wheel drive setup, 302 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 6 seconds. I'd have that. I'd have that every day of the week, actually. I've had one Skoda in the past, Octavia Estate VRS is what I had many moons ago. My goodness, that was a quick car. 1.8 turbo back when I was still driving combustion cars. And you know what? I would have an Enyaq RS, the blink of an eyelid, a drop of a hat, and other such things. Yes, please, Skoda, send one my way. All right, moving on. And NLX has installed and commissioned a network of 34 charging points for electric cars in Bucharest and the surrounding area. These are mainly AC chargers. The most of them that they've installed is 22 kilowatt AC chargers, but there are some DC chargers with 50 kilowatt charging capacity, says Electrive. Well, the current installation in Bucharest is part of NLX Romania's plan to build a nationwide network of charging points for EVs in Romania, with 2,500 charging points by 2023. According to the announcement made a couple of years ago, DC charging points with up to 150 kilowatts of speed are being built for operation in the city centre of Bucharest. NLX is relying on these mostly AC charging points. They call them juice poles, and they have one pole with two sockets on that supply 22 kilowatts each of AC power. Just this week, they announced that the network of public charging stations in Europe has now passed 50,000 charging points from that company. I'm so pleased they're putting in these dual 22 kilowatt AC posts because, as a Renault Zoe owner, I am, you know, slightly biased because the Zoe will charge at 22 kilowatts on AC. But, you know, in all seriousness, why don't more car makers put faster AC charging on board? I can only presume it must be a cost thing, because Tesla used to offer that as an optional extra. Well, not 22, but slightly faster AC charging, and nobody took them up on the offer. A bit like the old battery swaps that Tesla used to do. Built a battery swap station, nobody used it, they decided it was a bad idea. However, I would love car makers to be making at least, you know, not just 7, but maybe, you know, 11, 22 in an ideal world, 22 kilowatt AC onboard charging is so, so useful in countries where there's an abundance of 22 kilowatt or 11 kilowatt AC posts. These posts are so good if you're going to be somewhere for two or three hours. If we go shopping, if we do our big weekly shop, then we're going to be there for an hour. And, you know, more and more these days we get it delivered with COVID and things like that, and we stay away from big crowded spaces. But if we go somewhere like that, it's an hour. If we go out for a meal, admittedly, we haven't done that since the little fella arrived in December. Life changed somewhat when we became three. But before, when we, you know, we used to go out quite a lot to eat when it was just my wife and I, well, we'd be there for maybe an hour and a half. You go for a meal, hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. That's perfect to charge an EV destination charging on AC. Maybe you're going to go watch a movie. Maybe you're going to go bowling or do a leisure activity. If your car is parked somewhere for anything around 2 to 3 hours, fast AC charging is so, so good. Do not block a DC rapid charger. Please, I beg you, don't block one of those if you're not going to stay with your vehicle. And equally, slow 7 kilowatt chargers are okay, but you're going to get back to the car and you've added a few miles, but it's okay. But you know what? You get back to your car on a 22 kilowatt AC post after a couple of hours. If you've got a 40 kilowatt hour battery, you filled it, you got 60, it's 2/3 full, right? So it's so useful and not as expensive as putting in DC fast chargers for the operators. So I'm just such a huge fan. But it has limited use while the car makers aren't making cars that charge that quickly. Anyway, let's move on. Ford, lead story today. Ford is concerned that the customers of the upcoming Mustang Mach-E aren't going to get the full Ford experience with the full Mustang tradition. So they have created a sound system that is going to recreate the rumble of a real Mustang-powered, gas-powered American V8 muscle car, says Cleantechnica today. And you can turn this off, by the way. It's optional. You haven't got it turned on. You haven't got to have it turned on. In a world populated by pedestrians and bicyclists, they are including sounds with EVs more and more so that people can hear it coming. I'm not talking about that. This is like the safety noise that all EVs have to have. No, this is a dedicated sound system that is interactive. So it interacts with the exact throttle position and the torque output of the motor. Ford say that it will faithfully mimic what the Mustang Mach-E would sound like if you were driving a V8 with burbling twin exhaust pipes. The engine noises sound like they're coming from the front of the car, but really they're being piped through the speakers of the car's sound system with some very clever technology to trick your brain and your ears into thinking it's coming from the front of the car, whether or not the radio and the entertainment system is even turned on. Well, Ford says the Mustang Mach-E GT gets a few extra goodies as well to reflect its GT status in terms of the sounds. That's the one, by the way, that starts at $60,000. 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. If you're getting the standard Mach-E, that's going to be 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. The cars will be in dealer showrooms about 1 year from now. You know what? I want to hear your thoughts on this in the comments or on email. Personally, I couldn't think of anything worse. I'm buying an EV because I want to own and drive an EV, and I want the EV experience. Now, at times, that is silence. And at times, if I'm driving a little bit quicker, I like to hear the noises, the different noises that an EV makes. The last thing I could imagine, if this is an optional extra, as in a pay optional extra, no one's specking it. Hate to tell you, Ford, no one is spec. No one's ticking this box. No one's spending their extra money to get something so pointless. This is the chocolate fire guard of the EV world. Why on earth would anyone want this? Now, I've seen some hobby projects, some curiosity things on YouTube. I've seen people over companies over the years have done this as third-party retrofits. It's a curiosity. It's the bearded lady of the EV circus. But it's nothing more. It's interesting, and you're like, okay, that's nice that you can do that, but so what? I'd love to know your thoughts, because maybe I'm an outlier, or maybe you and I think the same. Maybe you've got a different opinion, a perspective that I can learn from, or we can share on the podcast. Get in contact. All right, let's move on. Tesla officially announced they are bringing their next car factory, their Giga factory, Giga Austin, to Austin a little more than 2 weeks ago it was now, but the electric car maker isn't wasting any time when it comes to establishing a presence on the ground. There's now dozens of job openings, according to the website bizjournals.com. Indeed, I did do the Google search term Tesla Jobs Austin. There are many. 39 job openings at the moment in the location of Austin on the official Tesla website, but I found a lot more on kind of third-party recruiters as well. When customer support and energy jobs like solar roof installers are taken out of the equation, on the official Tesla website there are 24 postings for Giga Austin. It's possible the company's looking for multiple people to fill open roles, and the same roles, though. Many of the openings are construction, so things like construction safety managers, they'll need many of those. Structural designers, civil engineers. Site work has already begun at the factory site northeast of the international airport there, just off State Highway 130, the toll road. Now, a site plan application for Tesla's factory was filed on August 4th, and the City of Austin Development Services Department have that application now. So I always just assume that when you buy an EV, of course, you know, the badge on the front, that company's built all the bits. Now, I know intellectually that's not true. I know that not every car maker builds every nut, bolt and washer, but it's always interesting then when you hear about the companies that are supplying the crucial bits of EVs that other companies then put their badge on. Like, take the company that's owned by Continental. Like, you've heard of the massive company, Continental. Well, they own a company called Vitesco. Now, they supply the drive unit for the Volkswagen ID3. Actually, they supply it for the platform. So every car that's made on that platform, so millions of cars, are using the drive control units of not VW, but they buy those bits in. And it's just, for me, I'm a nerd. I find it interesting. This is the device that controls the motors, all the commands around things like the accelerator pedal. It's integral to the charging. It's integral to the energy management. It's like the brains of the car. And it comes from not VW, but they buy it in. Management of the high voltage electrical system and all of that. HV control stuff that is, well, basically, it is the car, right? It also acts as an interface to other control units. It's not the only control unit in the car, but it interfaces with them all as well. It allows connectivity. So if that means that you are connecting to the outside world, it's what you and I would call over-the-air updates and that enhancement at any time when a car is out in the field. As a result, in addition to safety, they said that great attention was placed on cybersecurity, things like that, not allowing cyber criminals to access your car because it's, you know, you don't want the brakes being turned off when you're driving fast down the motorway. I'll pop a link in the show notes to the Continental website, the press release that I found. If you'd like to read more, I'm certainly very interested in these kind of companies that, to a large extent, fly below the radar, not in the automotive industry. Everyone knows who they are. There's big companies like that, like AVL Engineering that work with OEMs, a tier one supplier. But I love learning about these things because you know, you end up finding out who make the bits that the car companies need to, you know, to integrate. And we talk about vertical integration. And it's interesting how in EVs, some people are taking that to the extremes more than others. Like we'll see on Tesla Battery Day, how they even want to make the cells that then get made into batteries, and they want to control every part, well, as many parts of that process as possible. It's like when I found out that Tesla had a seat factory. You make the assumption that somewhere some company gets the contract to make Tesla seats. You're like, oh, okay, they actually make their own seats. That's kind of how vertically integrated that company, in terms of Tesla, like to operate. And, you know, you go back to the early days, and Tesla were buying everything in, like every switch and knob, even the car, even the rolling cars without the engines, where they were buying from Lotus, literally, like they were buying everything in. And you fast forward 10 years, and now they're obsessed with, can we do as much as we can ourselves? Just interesting to see how different people go about their business of making an EV. Talking of Tesla, by the way, let's talk charging. V3 superchargers. European V3 superchargers feature a single cable technology. It's the CCS plug on the European V3s, and they are directly compatible with Model 3s. And when Model Ys come out of Berlin this time next year, the V3 superchargers will be directly compatible with Model Y because they'll have the CCS plug on them. The Model S and the Model X vehicles here in Europe, they can access V3 superchargers, but you need an adapter. It's a plastic molded adapter, like one end is one plug and one end is the other, right? And so Model S and Model X owners can use this Combo 2 adapter to connect to third-party networks as well. If your car was made after May the 1st last year, 2019, it's capable. You just need the adapter. If your car was made before May the 1st, 2019, you've got an S or an X, and you can take advantage of the CCS charging or the V3 superchargers by scheduling a service retrofit, and they will take your car back. You schedule it on your Tesla mobile app, and they do the required work. It just got cheaper, I think by about half. The retrofit service for those owners that want it done, now down to £280 in this country, I think €299 on the mainland in Europe, including the cost of the adapter itself as well. All Model S and Model X owners can currently receive a peak charge rate of about 142. Now, don't tell me, don't, before you write and complain, and I am aware of those Model S owners that have recently been slowed. Some people would say bricked, but that's harsh language. But there are certain models of the S which have recently had Tesla remotely limit their charge speeds. But yes, that aside, you can currently charge at 142 kilowatts, roughly on par with the fastest charge rate supported by V2 superchargers. Now, they are going to carry on working with the V3 supercharging technology to provide additional information regarding peak charge rates as it becomes available for those S and X owners. Really interesting. And finally, a little fully charged video, which hit YouTube a little while ago, was the Chengdu Motor Show tour they did. Despite the fact that most of the world is trying to recover from COVID, China has not only come out the other side of it quickly, but now allowing large venues to open to groups of people. Like the Chengdu Motor Show, it ran from July 24th to August 2nd. 1,500 cars from various automakers were there, many of them electric and plug-in hybrids, as inside EVs. Prospective EV buyers in China have a vast array of very, very affordable models to choose from, and based on what we've seen at the motor show this year, there's more and better EVs coming in the very near future. And we're not talking about silly little 15 kilowatt hour little stupid bubble car thing. These are respectable looking cars with very good specs, you know, 40, 50, 60 kilowatt hour battery packs, but at very, very cheap and affordable prices. Like, you know, cars that have got 40 kilowatt hour packs for $10,000 equivalent. Obviously, there's incentives and things like that that make it that much cheaper in China, but let's hope that that is the influence that spreads everywhere, because we'd all like some cheaper cars. That's your show for today. As I always say, I'd love to hear from you in the comments, on email hello@evnewsdaily.com, and let me know your thoughts. 864 shows in the archive. Check them out for free. If you get any entertainment or informational value out of listening to this show, it is free. And it's fine, and it always will be free. But I keep it ad-free thanks to Patreon, and I'll do it as long as I possibly can. I don't mind a few adverts, but it's still ad-free because of Patreon. And if at any time you can just whiz by that website and have a look, see if you'd like to add your name to the list, I'd be really grateful, but no pressure, right? So it's patreon.com, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily for like $5 or $10 a month. A couple of posh coffees these days, you could directly support this show, and you would directly be making it happen. And the people that do, I'm so grateful to. And our premium partners get a mention every day: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, now NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com. And our latest, Derek Riley. Now, he has a channel called EV Review Ireland, and I'd love you to check it out. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And do remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.